Hello and welcome to the New Homeowner Podcast. This is a podcast for first-time homebuyers who are building a brand new home. Now, in episode 7, we talked about locking your interest rate, but sometimes interest rates can go up quite rapidly, and we understand that you're probably curious to know what your options are to try to keep your rate as low as possible. If you're worried about rising interest rates, this is the episode for you. And we have a special guest back for the second time. Ronnie is here with us, and we're going to find out what indicator Ronnie uses or what he looks at to find out if rates might be changing in the future. Amy and Kelsey, welcome to the show. It's good to see you again.
Thank you.
Good to see you too.
So this is actually the first episode we're doing that isn't part of the core series of building. So we're kind of diving into some deeper topics now. We're going to talk interest rates. And ironically and perfectly, Kelsey, you're actually dealing with this right now, which is you've signed a contract, you're waiting for the build to get started and locking your interest rate. And sure enough, right now, rates are sort of heading more north than they are sideways or south. So how's that feeling for you so far?
Yeah, I think we've heard a lot of chatter about this from our customers, and certainly I can relate. We're just about probably maybe 40, 45 days out from settlement. So we're pretty far along, and I'll dive a little bit deeper into our experience with locking our interest rate as we talk through this, but we did just go ahead and lock in our rate right around the pre-drywall time, which we talked about in last episode that we had Mike Dordo on. But yeah, I mean, definitely it was an interesting time to go through it.
I was thinking back to my last mortgage, and actually it was the opposite was happening. Rates were sort of falling, and I was like, yeah. Oh, can I get the better one now? And so we'll probably dive into that in another episode. Today we're talking rates going up. They're still well below what I paid, by the way, years ago, but that doesn't matter to you because in November of last year, you had it at this rate in your head and now it's different. So that's what we want to talk about today. And we have Ronnie back with us. Ronnie, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate the invite.
You got it. So Ronnie, why don't you kick us off? You know, maybe we just need to do a little background on what an interest rate is, because I don't think everybody really knows where they come from. Kind of just comes to the headline of CNN, you know, rates are going up, but there's all kinds of interest rates. And in our world, we're talking home interest rates. So give us your best background without getting too academic on us.
I'll just start super fundamental. The interest rate, simply put, that is the cost to borrow money. Or in other words, it's the rate of interest charged on your mortgage. And so I think where, you know, things get challenging and can get a little dense when you ask a question like, what are rates? Is that, you know, rates are constantly moving. There are multiple different forms of interest rates, just like there are multiple forms of investments. But specific to mortgage interest rates, I think it helps to understand that they are like a stock, a bond, a home, and any other investment that's out there, that they fluctuate with the market every day based on the simple law of supply and demand.
So how often do they change? Like a stock, could it literally be every day?
Every day. And at sometimes multiple points within the day.
And so that interest rate obviously affects your monthly payment. When you actually settle on the house, you have a rate at that point. Now, once you lock the rate, you're sort of capturing it. You're saying, all right, no more changing. I need to know what I'm going to pay month to month. And the good news is, depending on the loan you choose, that might be for 30 years, for 20 years. So you can lock that sucker up for a long time and you're never thinking about rates again, unless, like me, you know, they start to slide down and you want to refinance or something. But it's the locking of the rate that I think has Kelsey nervous and maybe other people wondering, how soon can I lock it? If I think they're going up, I want to lock as soon as I can. If I think they're going down, then maybe I want to let it float around a little bit. So we had talked last time about the 60-day rate lock. What are the other options? Can I lock like 3-4 months early? I mean, what's the standard and what's that going to cost me?
What was it, episode 7 that you were talking about, the 60-day lock, and my buddy Mike Dordo was on here doing a great job of talking through that with you all?
Yep.
So when you're talking about rate lock options, one thing that I would add is that context really matters when you're talking about locking your rate. What is happening in the economy will dictate whether you leverage a shorter term lock like our 60-day lock, or if you want to go a different direction with, say, maybe an extended lock. And so Mike referenced that 60-day lock in episode 7 has been our most popular lock, but it's also important to note that was based on a relatively flat, if not downward trending, interest rate market. And so as rates increase, you will see our extended lock options become more popular in an attempt to eliminate that rising risk rate-wise. And so, you know, if you know rates are more likely to go up, lock earlier in the process. The cost of waiting could be really, really costly. And so in a rising rate market, our most popular lock is our start of construction lock. More people than less leverage the lock at the start of construction. It's good for 180 days, and it can remove that risk of an upward trending rate environment. It can take it right off the table. And that's where that peace of mind that people talk about a lot comes into play, because now they know their rate, they know their payment, and they can plan accordingly.
I know, Ronnie, you mentioned the cost of waiting, but is there a cost associated with extended locks?
There is. The rule of thumb with locks is the longer the lock, typically the larger the cost. Now, that said, the cost doesn't have to be paid up front or even out of your pocket at closing if you don't want it to be. There are different lock options and various ways to pay for those options. For example, you might take a higher rate by 0.125 or 0.25, a quarter percent, to cover the cost. That's one way to cover that additional cost for the extended lock. You can use your NVR mortgage cash discount, your incentive, it's known as, to pay for it. You could finance your extended lock, or another way of saying that you can increase your loan amount to cover the cost of that lock. But there's a myriad of different ways to pay for it, and depending on how long the lock is will dictate what that price is.
And I think what we want our customers to really think about is that there are options, and there are a lot of them and different things that they could choose. So Ronnie, how do you recommend if a customer wants to talk options or has concerns, what should they do next?
So there's a progression to this, a simple progression, in my opinion. Number one, the lock strategy should start at the loan application with your loan officer. And there's a couple things that you want to consider with this strategy. Where am I today rate-wise? Where has the rate market been going leading up until today? And what does the forecast predict for interest rates? Focusing on those three areas. Where have rates gone to this point? Where are they today? And what is the forecast looking forward? Will help you make a really good decision on what the strategy should be. And that's kind of the context that I refer to that matters so much when determining whether to wait it out and how long to wait, or whether to go with an extended lock option that we offer.
So what I'm hearing you say is if a customer is nervous or wants to understand their choices, they should contact their loan officer and have a talk.
100%. That would be the first bit of advice that I would give you is that, you know, definitely get with your loan officer.
Yeah. I mean, I recall from my experience, we talked about extended locks at the loan app. My husband followed up a few times like, hey, what are our options if we lock in today? And so we had those back and forth conversations several times. Ultimately for us, we opted not to go with an extended lock. And, you know, looking back now, maybe we would have changed our minds if we kind of prioritized that peace of mind. We personally decided to buy down our rate with our cash incentive. And I think for me, you know, and just kind of a message to everyone listening is, you know, everyone's going through the same thing right now with these rising rates. And so it was, you know, it did. Once the rates rose, as we were in the middle of construction, it felt like a little bit of a kick in the gut, like, why us? But then I had to remind myself, you know, this is just how it works. And there are other options out there for us to still be able to meet our mortgage goals, which ultimately we're still able to do. And so we're just moving forward and are happy with our decision. And that's all we can do.
Yeah. And it's interesting too, that typically, and not always, if rates are rising, the economy has been heating up. And so that house that you signed in November is probably worth more, sometimes a lot more than, you know, if the rates had been flat and nothing had been happening. So, you know, you were paying a little bit more because you didn't get the rate lock. But you, if you look at the total value of your decision, man, that house value going up is actually worth a lot more. And last year's like 14% increase. Typically, it's like in 3 to 4, maybe nothing for a couple of years. So it's a good sign that's going up. It's not comfortable always, but it's not all bad in totality.
Exactly.
Jason, I like the rule of thumb that the stronger the economy, typically the higher the rate. That's a pretty simple rule of thumb that you can follow if you want to get a feel for where interest rates might be going. Now, Kelsey, I'd love to go back to your story real quick because I think it's a really relevant story. And I think it's one that has some good lessons to learn, but also some good points to kind of build off of, if you don't mind.
Sure.
You know, it's your application with your loan officer. If you were to kind of take my advice and look at where the market has been going and where the market was and what the forecasts were looking like, I would imagine that I would have made the same decision that you made because the market had been trending down, if not staying relatively flat. The rates were pretty good, but the forecasts weren't forecasting anything drastic in the other direction. And this is what makes the interest rate conversation so interesting, in my opinion. And so something that I would like to add on to, you know, how you could potentially mitigate some of the risk is after you come up with that strategy, there are some really key builder milestones that you should anchor as touch points with your loan officer in case something that does happen unexpectedly happens, like a global pandemic that shuts down the entire economy.
just a little thing.
Yeah, just a small thing. And so those touch points that I would invite everybody to anchor some conversations around after you leave that application with your loan officer and your strategies in play would be your approval, which comes a couple weeks later. Because that's a great touch point to say, hey, not only are we approved, great, high five. How are we looking with our rate lock strategy? And if you need to emerge the strategy, that's a great place very early on in the process to do it. Next touch point would be when start of construction takes place, a couple weeks later, depending on, you know, what you're building. And so I'd revisit it then as well. At the very last place would be the pre-drywall, which Mike and you all have spoken about on previous episodes. That's the last touch point, in my opinion. But you've got a strategy. You've got multiple sort of controls and touch points in place. That way, if things do turn, it's impossible to predict where rates are going. But you can adapt and pivot your strategy if need be using those builder milestones, if you will, and mortgage milestones.
And I think, you know, understanding that you have an advocate. If you have an NVR mortgage loan officer on your side, they don't have any incentive to go one way or another for you. They want the best strategy for your individual situation. That might be lower rates. It might be buying it down. It might be locking it in. Might be waiting a little bit. And one of the benefits of the in-house LO is that they know exactly where the house is and what's happening with those milestones because they're talking to the project manager and to your sales rep. And they're working as a team to provide a great experience for you. So if you're listening to this right now and your head's still spinning, you're like, I don't know what the heck they're talking about. I just want the best thing. Then rest assured, you can just talk to your LO. They have a plan for you and they'll ask the right questions to put you in the best position. And I think what you don't want to do is go to a friend who has no idea what your situation is and ask them, what should I do? And they're like, go for the lowest rate, you know, spend all the money now or don't spend any money and do this and that. Like you need somebody who is like Ronnie, who's like obsessed with rates and is watching them and is thinking about what's happening and knows where people get in trouble down the road if they make the wrong decision. So I think it's that knowing that complete picture that's important.
Hey homeowners, it's Kelsey with the new Homeowner Podcast. If you ask me, the best neighbors you could have are your friends and family. Send them to ryanhomes.com to get in touch with your community sales team or just to browse local communities in their area. That's ryanhomes.com. Now back to the podcast. Our loan officer has even been great post locking in. You know, he's even, you know, called us more frequently, like, hey, I just want to make sure everything's still going with your mortgage experience, you know, and really walking us through everything because he knows it was kind of a sensitive matter. And, you know, I feel like I'm like, are you my loan officer and my therapist at this point? I don't know. He's been great. So.
It's kind of like when your kids are sick and you Google their symptoms, things are worse. So what you're saying is right, Jason. Don't ask Google. Don't ask a friend with no knowledge. Call the right person and keep perspective.
Very true. Thank you, Amy.
Good advice, Amy. It's something that I would ask everybody to consider is just knowing the impact that rate movement has on your payment. I think the perspective of knowing what an eighth or a quarter percent does to your payment can kind of help you understand what's happening without having to guess what's happening and assume and drive yourself crazy.
And I think another thing you can take away from that is if rates are going up, rents are probably going up too. next year. So if you're going to be paying $100 or $200 more a month, potentially depending on the market, you know, everything kind of goes up a little bit. So again, it's relative. And the key with home ownership is you get to control that. Now you get to lock that in. You get to, you know, you get to know that your payment's going to be the same, give or take a few $100 in taxes, depending on where you live. But
Ronnie, you talked to us about, you know, these extended locks and then the option to use our cash discount to buy down our points. But are there any loan programs that you're hearing, you know, more customers consider now that rates are trending upwards?
Yeah, the conversation is definitely heating up in this newer rising rate environment with some of our shorter loan term programs that offer lower interest rates, that also known as adjustable rate mortgages or ARMs. Those products offer the benefit of a lower monthly payment in a lot of cases. And the term ARM has a bit of a negative connotation in the mortgage environment, and I understand a bit why that's been the case. It was, you know, they weren't used for, in the right positions for certain customers, but they also still exist for a reason because they are right for certain customers. Every program and product that exists in the mortgage world today and is our highly regulated environment exists because it helps customers. It's just a matter, is that customer you or not? And so those shorter term loan programs help a lot of people. The average homeowner only stays in their house 8 years. And so doing a 30-year mortgage doesn't make sense for everybody. I understand that that peace of mind and that comfort in knowing it's never going to change is very appealing, but there's also something very appealing to a lower monthly payment that's only fixed for 7 years or 5 years, knowing where you are in life. And that might fit within your home buying narrative at this point in time. Those are some things to consider that your loan officer can walk you through. What are the options for shorter loan-term programs? There's also options to look at maybe leveraging your NVR mortgage discount or instead incentive to buy out the mortgage insurance. If that's a program that you were looking for, that could lower your monthly payment. And so those are some of the things, in addition to just the products that vary, that are out there and available to everybody, some options that you can leverage your incentive with as well.
Kelsey, one of the things you mentioned is, look, once you make your decision, let it go.
Let it go. Don't dwell on it.
Get sleep. Don't dwell on it. Enjoy your home building process. Don't want to change it afterwards. You can change it, you know, but it would cost you way more than you need to. So make the decision and go with it. And you did make the right decision, I think, too. So
absolutely.
You gotta be at peace with it.
Yeah.
So Ronnie, when you're looking for a crystal ball to try and see into the future of interest rates, where do you go to on a daily or weekly basis? What's your go-to indicator?
A top indicator, if I want to get a feel for where mortgage rates are going, that I look at every day, multiple points a day, is the 10-year treasury. This is found on any public news source, Wall Street Journal, USA Today, Yahoo Finance, CNBC, New York Times. You can just Google it if you want to. Public index, the 10-year treasury bond. And now understanding the mechanics of the treasury yield, that's not important. Nearly as important as knowing kind of the correlation that it has with mortgage rates. The typical spread between the 10-year treasury rate and the 30-year mortgage is about 1.5 to 2 points. And so if I look at the 10-year treasury today and it's at 1.9%, the 30-year mortgage rate has got a high probability to be about 3.9%. And if that 10-year treasury goes up to 2, pretty good idea that 30-year mortgage rate might be going up as well.
Interesting. I'm going to look that up. Keep track of it.
Yeah. So if you're a first-time home buyer, if you're a, you know, current homeowner that's thinking about making a change in your housing situation, and you want to understand, you know, where rates are heading, understanding what the 10-year treasury bond is doing is a really good indicator to know what rates are doing.
Oh my gosh. And you can impress your friends at parties. Have you guys seen what the 10-year treasury is doing today? Oh my gosh. Rates are going to go through the roof.
I feel like Ronnie already does that.
Oh, does
that's his party he, trick.
No, he's got four different t-shirts in different colors. 10-year treasury, and he's got, you know, big hearts next to it.
Negative. I do not talk about that at a party. That's for sure.
All right, Ronnie, thank you for joining us today and for all your insight. Any last thoughts or parting words on this episode?
As new construction lending experts, we take a lot in pride of helping customers navigate this home buying experience. And it's a journey. you have a lot of options when it comes to locking, and you have a lot of options when it comes to mitigating the risk of a floating interest rate. Get with your loan officer fast, develop a lock strategy, and use the approval, the start of construction, and the pre-drywall phase as great milestones to touch base on that lock strategy. That approach is controlling the controllable and gives you the best chance to make a really good decision on your interest rate.
Fantastic. Thank you. And just a shout out to everybody on different Facebook groups who's been asking questions about rate locks and extended locks and what should we do. We read a lot of those comments and we sort of developed this episode around those questions. So, you know, the other thing to do is ask questions, ask your LO, ask other people, but don't be shy. Don't sit and just wonder and wish you had the answers. We can certainly get them for you and explain it as best we can. So be sure to subscribe to our podcast to stay in the loop with future episodes and visit newhomeowner.com to submit any questions or topics for future episodes. And do you have a friend? Of course you do. You're probably thinking of that friend right now. And if you're sure that they're in the market for a new home, you need to share our podcast with them so they know what to expect as a new home buyer. And tell them to go to ryanhomes.com to browse amazing communities near them. You'll be their hero. We'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.